Today's program is brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher. I'm also known as the Food Healer. And today, I think, is my last show of the season. So I've got a really special guest I'm very excited about today. We're going to be talking to Cynthia Farris all about her product, Canine Kraut. So we're going to be talking dog nutrition, probiotics, all kinds of groovy stuff. So that being said, let's just get started. Cynthia, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Celia.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, lovely. I'm so excited to be here and talk health and dogs, and they're pretty much synonymous for me.
Me too, and I'm so excited because I haven't had a conversation about nutrition in a while, so yay!
Oh, very good.
I know, I'm so excited. Let's get started. Yee! So, I first want to talk about what you do.
Okay. So, I am a holistic health coach, much like you.
Yep.
And a functional nutritionist.
Cool.
As well as a fermentationist. So let me explain those terms. A functional nutritionist really looks at whole body wellness, mm-hmm. which involves environment, food as medicine, sometimes supplements, oftentimes supplements, and even botanicals, mm-hmm. as well as the extended entity. So beyond the dog, you know, the relationships, the love, the joy, the exercise, the stimulation, the non-toxic living, everything rolled into the health of that canine.
Nice. Me too. I love
that.
Yes,
I know. I'm excited to be here.
I love it too, because it really, there's so many different aspects and so many different parts to health. I mean, even as a human being, you know, like if we eat exactly right for who we are, but we don't have a satisfying, you know, leisure time or something like that, or we're just addicted to our work, you know, everything gets off balance. And it's the same with dogs and cats and all mammals, you know. There isn't much difference in my book, and I'm assuming in yours too, since we are looking at this whole picture, because that's, I mean, it's really super important. You can go systemic, but there's so much more to it, you know.
Right, and I love it because it's so synergistic, and one aspect of life plays off of the other. And then our human stuff, many of our dog family members absorb that as well.
Totally. Totally.
And they feed off of it. And, you know, the same things that are making them sick are the things that are making us sick. So I really work, Celia, with the human entity and often use the dog as a mirror of what's going on in the person. Because people, A, they can't see what's going on in themselves sometimes, but they can see it in the dog. And B, they'll spend a heck of a lot of money on the dog, but forego their own health.
God, isn't that the truth?
I met with a woman. She did not become a client, but if I was doing more canine nutrition consulting back then, she had MS, and she was feeding her dog way better than herself. And, you know, I tried to help her understand that, you know, her gradual decline in health was affecting the dog. And when she couldn't take the dog out to play and walk, you know, what was the dog going to do?
Totally.
So that's kind of the realm where I like to work.
And I love that you've described this because, like we said, it's so much more than just, you know, feed them this and their life will be perfect. Because, you know, if it was that easy, you know, we could all just do that.
Right, right. And the digestion piece, as you know, is so critical.
It really, really is. And I'm so excited when I first found out about you because I love probiotics and I love gut health because it really, I really, really do believe that health begins in the gut.
Yes.
And so probiotics are just an awesome, awesome way to help and, you know, build that up and create strength in the gut. But for people that don't know what probiotics are, can you just tell us what they are?
Yes. And before I really kind of define probiotics, I'd like to step back and talk about the whole microbiome aspect.
Yeah,
Ilya.
please.
And that is that the realization, you know, really 200 years ago, that we are bacterial entities mm-hmm. and we are microbial entities. And in the last 20, 30 years, science has really caught up and started to understand. There's so much we still don't know about the trillions of microorganisms that live on us and in us.
Yeah.
And for the human and the dog, the majority of those microbes are residing in our digestive tract, in the gut, optimally in the large intestine or the colon, mm-hmm. which, as you said earlier, you know, is our interface with the outside world. So if things come in and down the digestive pipe and they're not processed accurately or optimally, then it's going to lead to downstream consequences, which we're seeing in humans and dogs in the form of allergies, behavioral issues, thyroid issues, mm-hmm. diabetes, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah, it does.
So probiotics, and I learned this week in doing some research for this conversation.
Oh, cool.
Probiotics were actually coined by the dairy industry to refer to the beneficial bacteria that were they were creating or naturally found in yogurts.
Cool.
I thought that was pretty cool. But probiotic does mean for life.
Okay.
And that is a huge analogy for me in the work I do, whether it's with humans or dogs, because what is health if it's not creating life?
Exactly.
And we back, it sounds, you're as geeky as I am about this, we back it up to, you know, the microbes living in and on us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we share those back and forth with our dogs all the time.
This is the kind of conversation that if someone's a little germ-phobic, they're going to flip out. It's cool, man. This is like, this is what it is. Like, we need this bacteria. We need all this stuff. So don't, like, go racing to your sink with the, you know, Ajax and start scrubbing away because you're going to do more damage than you need.
Right. Yes. Well, and, you know, raw apple cider vinegar, it's been around for, what, 100 years?
Yeah.
That is an amazing disinfectant and antiseptic and probiotic actually as well. And in preparation for this call, I started giving it to my dog, and I put some of his food without the apple cider vinegar, mm-hmm. which is probiotic rich, and then I put a little bit of it saturated in raw apple cider vinegar. Giving him the choice, which is what I'm big on, giving, you know, the animal the choice to engage in, you know, fermented foods.
Yeah.
And he came back to it for the last 4 days, a little bit later. So, you know, I can extrapolate and interpret that as, hey, his body is craving that, which may or may not be the case, but it also works to raise acidity in his stomach. Mm-hmm. Which is where, you know, dogs do the bulk of their digesting of proteins and bones, you know, ancestrally. And he has shown signs of not having enough stomach acid and breaking down his food. And I'll leave you to speculate as to how I might know that.
Well, yeah.
Even though this is an adult program and we should be able to talk about those things.
I mean, that's part of the thing about working with nutrition at any point is there's a lot of talk about poo, and it's just the way that it is, you know, and it's a really good indicator of what's going on in the body.
Yeah, so, and it's free.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, after you've paid for the food, it's free. And when you take a dog to the vet, what's the first thing they ask you? Are they pooping? And what did they eat? Did they get into anything out of the norm? And, you know, if we could do that with humans, and I use dogs as a gateway to that conversation a lot.
That's smart.
And then I hear a lot about poop that, you know, I don't always want to hear about.
Well, once you break
over the floodgates. But actually, as a health coach and nutritionist, I always want to hear how the body is working. So anyway, we'll leave that.
So basically, the idea is that if you're feeding, if you're ingesting probiotics, you're creating more beneficial bacteria in your gut and in your intestines and colon. Therefore, you're able to absorb your food better and get more nutrients out of them. And so that, for me, was always kind of like step one regarding it. But
yeah.
I wanted to know what you thought or what your opinion is, because they're, you know, obviously probiotics equals digestion. But what else do they do?
What else do probiotics do?
Yeah, like what else do they help?
Yeah, so backing up, more than 70% of our immune function is in the gut. So that's really the kicker.
Yes,
and probiotics, and Celia, we can't just talk about probiotics. We have to talk about a quality, nutrient-dense diet.
True.
That is breed specific.
True.
And one that is, comfortable and workable for the pet owner.
Yeah, it's very, very true.
And so certain bacteria or yeast actually in the system can actually poke holes in the small intestine,
mm-hmm.
humans and in dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Candida, for example. Candida is a term that is pretty much well known because it refers to a yeast overgrowth.
Yep.
And a lot of people have yeast overgrowth. They may or may not know it. But one example of some probiotics, and it's Saccharomyces boulardii, which mm-hmm. is actually a probiotic, so a health-bestowing, it's actually a yeast,
mm-hmm.
helps to work in the digestive system to regulate the microbial balance. So with an imbalance, which we call a dysbiosis mm-hmm. of bacteria and yeast and other microbes in the digestive tract, we can end up with a wounded small intestine or a wounded gut. That's mm-hmm. you hear often this term leaky gut.
Yep.
So that is happening in dogs as well as people. And I'm happy to be able to share this because it's tied to the quality of our food.
Yeah.
It's tied to toxins in the environment. And, you know, dogs are front and center with toxins, you know, pesticides and herbicides in the gardens or in the parks and on the walkways. They're perfect height for the exhaust from cars.
Totally.
They are laying on our carpets and hopefully on our furniture with flame retardants. So they get exposed to, you know, as much if not more toxins
definitely.
From the environment. So that is really destructive to the digestive tract. And stress
mm-hmm.
and certainly the genetically modified foods. And I think isolationism and lack of joy and love, as I mentioned before, all hit the digestive tract. As well as, the lining of the stomach and the dog's stomach, as well as humans, is designed to be really acidic.
Yeah.
And all this is impacted by all those things, you know, the whole life experience of that animal.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the probiotics, they work to restore balance. And they work, ideally, the probiotics, the beneficial bacteria, work favorably to restore balance. They kind of crowd out the pathogenic bacteria
mm-hmm.
And help restore the leaky gut. And the leaky gut is what's leading to skin, immune issues,
yeah.
influenza, yeast buildup on the skin, and some neurological stuff because the gut-brain connection is the same in dogs as it is in humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a two-way street, as you well know.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really amazing, too, because it's even things like, you know, if you're not absorbing enough of your food, then you're not getting enough magnesium in your diet. And then you're, you know, someone pops a balloon next to you and you have a heart attack because you're
yes.
so on edge and so
yep.
nervous, you know. And
yep.
so it makes me really nervous with all the super processed foods that are out there on the market for dogs and cats and, you know, pets, basically, because
yep.
it's, you know, it's the bottom line. It's not about nutritionally dense food that's super affordable. So a lot of people will
right.
go for the cheaper products and then, you know, wind up on this downward spiral of especially the yeast. I think the yeast is the thing that makes people really go to the vet because their dogs stink and they just itch and they're miserable, mm-hmm. you know, and the texture of the coat's different and everything just goes straight downhill.
Right.
And then, you know, then they get put on prednisone and then they're on all mm-hmm. these steroids and all this great mm-hmm. stuff. And it's like if you just raise the quality of the food and flooded them with probiotics for a couple months, you could really do some really, really good work there and not have to, you know, put any toxins in your pet at the same time.
Right, right. And, you know, I know life is hard and there's a lot of demands for finances and, you know, where we invest our time. But, yes, absolutely, backing it up and providing them and yourself with high-quality, high-nutrient food. And the macronutrients of fat, protein, and fiber.
Totally.
And one of the things that people are so surprised because I do make custom canine kraut. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to talk about this on Foment About It.
Yep.
But,
and we're going to talk about it a little bit.
I want to put a plug in for that because looking at the ancestral dog, they ate the whole, you know, small animal.
Mm-hmm.
So they got the coat, they got the fur, the feather, the wool, whatever, and that served as fiber in the body.
Yep.
So to not feed modern dog, you know, domesticated dog, some fiber sources, I think we're really missing the boat.
I think that's a really good point.
And my canine krauts, and there's nothing special about canine krauts. It just was a catchy name because I was doing a holistic pet fair that I've done for 3 years now and really trying to introduce both species to the power of probiotic-rich foods.
Nice.
And enzyme-rich foods, which krauts are and fermented vegetables are too.
Yep.
And we didn't talk about the enzymes, but enzymes are... I like to equate them to scissors, little mm-hmm. scissors that break down the constituents of food that we eat into more absorbable and usable constituents.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, Cynthia, we have to take a quick break. I'm
yeah.
talking about canine kraut and dog digestion with Cynthia Farris. We'll be back in about a minute and a half.
By TalkStar, and this one's called Walk In Like a Cowboy.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
And we're back. We're talking canine kraut and dog digestion with Cynthia Farris. Cynthia, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
How did it ever cross your mind to give your dog sauerkraut? I would be so concerned about, like, gas and, like, digestive upset. I don't know if I'd have the guts to do it.
That is actually a common concern. But, Celia, fermented vegetables
mm-hmm.
are actually pre-digested. So the fermentation process breaks down the cells, raises the acidity of the blend,
mm-hmm.
Increases vitamin and mineral and enzyme and obviously the probiotic content. So it actually has the opposite impact
nice.
Of helping reduce gas, help with diarrhea, and actually constipation as well.
Beautiful.
I have used it 5 years ago. I started getting into fermentation, and I really, my focus is really on vegetables, lacto fermentation, wild fermentation, Sander Katz style, because so many of us, me included, are challenged to get in enough vegetables.
Yeah.
And when I had three dogs at the time, and they would all pile into the kitchen when I would bring out a head of cabbage.
That's funny.
And they would vie for the core as a start.
How funny.
So, you know, I live alone, and it didn't matter if they got gas or not, but they've always eaten high-quality vegetables along with their diet. So it really started, they were really lobbying for it. And, you know, the dogs, there's question on how much carbohydrates they can actually break down, because as humans, we have amylase, a digestive enzyme that begins in the mouth, and we can break down our carbohydrates there. Dogs don't necessarily produce amylase, but they produce another lysozyme, which really works to fight against any parasites on the flesh and the prey and the bones and stuff that they bring into their bodies. So it's really kind of cool. So aiding them by pre-digesting or fermenting their food is very, very helpful.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
And, you know, they don't, sometimes you have to do a sales job. I find competition is really great in introducing fermented foods, vegetables to dogs. I'm down to one now after having three, you know, a year and a half ago.
Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. And they each had their special blends. They
That's
each
funny.
Had what they liked. And I would encourage you to, your listeners, to just try introducing vegetables to your dogs first.
Yeah.
And maybe cook them, carrots and beans, and the maybe flatulent type cabbage family, and, you know, broccoli. Maybe just start with peas and carrots and green beans, either raw or cooked. My little guy does not break down the pea, so they come out whole.
Yep.
So I'm sometimes over the top, but I'm all about nutrition as medicine. So I will puree his peas.
Nice.
And, you know, pureeing or mix them in the blender or even just chopping them up a bit is a form of pre-digestion. And we're aiding the dog in that. And, Celia, it's amazing because I do the same for people. You know, I encourage them to do the same while we're restoring the functionality of their digestive system.
Nice. Nice.
I don't personally grind up their peas.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Oh my God. I'll be at your house at 6 p.m. and I'm going to grind up all your vegetables every day. Yeah, we could actually make a fortune. This might be a great idea, actually, Cynthia.
Well, and, you know, also this weekend I was looking up vegan diets for dogs, and there's a growing population of people that do that. I haven't looked specifically into the, you know, the nutrient content, but, you know, if that's what people believe, it sounds like they're making it work.
They're trying. I mean, from what I'm saying, I have a real issue with this because animals don't, it's not a morality issue when an animal kills. An animal kills because it's hungry, and this is nature. So, like, yeah, please don't send me tons of hate mail, but I definitely am not. I don't think a vegan meal is smart unless the animal's vegan. I really don't. I mean, there are exceptional cases. When I was working at a vet, we had a dog that actually had a meat protein, like a blood allergy, which was unbelievable. So he's on a vegan diet, and he's thriving because he's not allergic the entire time to any kind of meat protein, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of works. But the whole thing of, like, well, I'm a vegan, and I think that, you know, Spot should be too because that's cool.
Right.
Not my favorite clients, to be honest with you, just because it's so difficult. And, you know, like, then they're supplementing with soy, which is not a great idea. Or, you know, can I give him nuts? Not really. You know, that kind of thing. So it gets a little complicated. But, yes, I think if someone is doing a vegan diet and if they are, like, determined, come hell or high water, they're going to do this, they've got to have fermented foods. Because if not, they're just not going to break anything down.
Well, and, you know, one thing that's missing from the human vegan diet is B12.
True.
And there is some B12 in krauts. And I believe that's because of the bacterial carcasses.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. So, but I try to meet people where they're at and certainly bring in some good. I've not had to study that issue, but I hear what you're saying as well. I mean, they seem to be genetically designed for prey.
It's a tough one. It's tough to find research that's really accurate. The one thing that I'm finding the most when I've tried to research it are blog posts from people that have aggressively done this. And it's like, I want nutritionists. I want like Pit Cairn doing this and telling me what's going on. You know, if he's like totally or Dr. Harvey, then I'm right behind you. But until that happens, I just need more scientific evidence because I don't want to put other animals at risk. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that being said, sadly, we're running out of time because I could talk to you for like a day and a half easily.
It's a great topic, isn't it?
It's wonderful. And I really appreciate the amount of time you've spent researching this and the amount of knowledge that you have, because this is not the easiest stuff to find either, you know? So, like, hats off.
It's not. And if people just are listening to Animal Instinct and don't pop over to the Ferment about it, you know, I would just encourage you to go to the grocery store in the refrigerator section, pull out a raw, unpasteurized, plain cabbage kraut, and start there.
And so how much, let's say somebody's got a 20-pound dog, what do you recommend to start? How big a dose?
Yeah, that's a great question. Dr. Karen Becker, who I love.
Oh, I love Karen.
Yeah, she's part of the Mercola Network. She recommends 1 to 3 teaspoons per 20 pounds of body weight.
Cool.
But working up to that, but keep in mind, too, that as you're bringing in these good bacteria, you can offset and crowd out the less desirables, so you could have some digestive transition.
Totally.
And so, you know, it doesn't usually happen, but if they're, you know, alone all day without the ability to get outside, you just might want to plan for that.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that. It's been really restorative very quickly. And you could even make biscuits out of it. You can dehydrate them, and there's a lot you can do, and hopefully we'll get that into that on Ferment about it.
So where can people find out more information about you and all your good stuff?
So my first focus is human, so my website, Cynthia Farris, FARRIS.com. If they have any questions or if there's anything I can help them with regard to their dog, you know, refer them back to you for canine nutrition consulting or whatever.
I'll trade with you anytime, babe.
They can link to that on my website.
Cool. So thank you so much. And we actually, this is kind of an exciting day because we've never done this before. I've got Chris, Mary, and Rachel at Ferment About It in the studio with me right now.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hi.
And so we're going to continue this conversation, but now we're going to go for like fermenting and like people stuff. So I'm really excited to have you guys here. And I love this crossover because it's so important on all, you know, on mammals and, you know, at the risk of sounding insane, living beings. So that being said, I want to pass it over to the Ferment About It team. Cynthia, thank you again. And for my listeners, I will be talking to you guys next season. So have a great vacation. And we'll be talking in September again. So try not to miss me too much.
Thanks, Celia.
Thank you.
Celia, thank you very much. We're going to actually stop and start again.
All right.
In just one moment. Thank you so much for listening to K9.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.